Just a note, this episode of Locked On Spurs was recorded before the news came out that LaMelo Ball, the rookie for the Hornets, is out for the season.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15 to get yourself 15% off your next order. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer, and I'm glad to have you back. Happy Monday. I know, it's the beginning of the week. We're going to try to make your Monday a little easier and fun, talking about what you like to hear, and that is all things San Antonio Spurs. So what's on the menu tonight? Well, we got a few things. We're going to be discussing today's Spurs-Hornets matchup. What are some keys to victory? This is the first game of a nine-game homestand for San Antonio. What is going to take for the Spurs to start off this nine-game home stand on the right foot? And also on the show, Derek White. Kind of an up and down statistically, even by his own admission. What is going on? Is this something to be worried about? Or is it just one of the things like, he'll come out of it, just give him some time. We're going to discuss that and more with guest Ty Yeager. Follow him on Twitter at TheTyYeager. He's the co-host of At The Line Podcast. Ty, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And I hear that you have so much money that you bought out an entire mall.
Oh, and I wish I had that much money. I did kind of go on a shopping spree on Saturday, but hey, whenever you do such a good job at not spending for the first two thirds of the month, you kind of got to treat yourself.
But here's something I learned about Ty. I did not know he's into candles.
Hey, Bath & Body Works is having a sale, and then you also have the coupon that they always have. You have to go for it. I'm going to say I love my candles I just got. They're like coconut flavor, coconut scented, so they're great. And then I got a Fiji beach sands for hand soap. Oh, it's so, I love it. I just love Bath & Body Works whenever I go to the mall.
You definitely do. All right, well, Ty, let's dive into this right now. Look, the Spurs and Hornets play tonight in San Antonio. As mentioned earlier, it's the first game of a nine-game homestand. When you look at tonight's matchup, before we get into our keys to victory, what is your overall feel? What do you think about tonight's contest? How do you see this ending?
I'm feeling good. Spurs still, even despite not having DeJounte and Patty out on rest, I thought that Spurs team did really well against one of the best teams in the East and against an MVP candidate. Was it their best game? No, but again, they put up a really good competition, made it competitive, didn't get blown out. They did cover the spread, so I think some people took a win in that. But they kept it competitive, and that's what I really liked seeing against the Bucks. And now you're going up against a very much lesser team in the Hornets. Are they a horrible team? No, they're just a game below 500, and so they're not that bad. They're not Houston Rockets bad. Let's say that they have not lost 20 straight like the Rockets have, and I'm just did that to burn them. Sorry guys, but it's a bottom 10 defense, middle of the pack offense. I think, and if you have a fully healthy Spurs team with DeJounte and Patty both rested, and having DeMar back, Lonnie, all mm-hmm. of them. They're on the floor, I think this team can easily get a win against this Hornets team.
Yeah, the Spurs come into tonight's contest 22-17, and the Hornets come in 20-21. Lonnie Walker had a career high versus the Bucks, 31 points. You hope that he can continue that, because as much as we love seeing that, and that was great production out of him, you want to see it sustained. That has been the knock on his short career in the NBA, is that can he sustain that level of play? Well, hopefully tonight that will happen. All right, let's go into our keys to victory, and I'll get us going here, Ty. If for some reason it is a close game, is my first key, then we head into that fourth quarter. The Spurs really got to pay attention to this Hornets team. The Hornets in the fourth quarter are averaging 27.9 points per game. That's one of the best in the NBA. And if there's a player to key on, no, it's not LaMelo Ball. It's actually Terry Rozier. In 15 games, he averages about 3.5 points per game in clutch situations. So my first key is don't let it get to a close game, Spurs. And if you do, you got to really pay attention, because this is a Hornets team that can pull out wins when the going gets tough. Ty, what will be your key to a Spurs win?
Yeah, so everyone, let's not let Scary Terry get out there. But again, this is looking at the numbers, this is actually the third best team in the league in terms of assists a game. But they're also third to last in turnovers per game. So, and you're going up against a top 10 Spurs defense that loves to steal your cookies with DeJounte Murray. Derek White can still block and still get steals, even if he's not having a great offensive night. He can still put some defense on the floor. And then you have Jakob and Drew just blocking everything in sight. So force the turnovers. This is a team that's going to give up the turnovers because they do like their ball movement. Again, third in the league in assists. So get through those passing lanes and force some turnovers. And then create your offense by getting points off those turnovers. So we've seen the Spurs team have issues in getting points off those turnovers, but if they can really generate a lot of turnovers, make this Hornets team make the mistakes, capitalize on that, and you got yourself a win.
Absolutely. The Spurs also are riding a 3-game winning streak against the Hornets, so hopefully they'll be able to continue that tonight in San Antonio. Another key for me, Ty, is the fact that the Spurs and the Hornets are kind of sort of neck and neck when it comes to offense production. This season, the Spurs average about 110-ish points per game, while the Hornets average about 112-ish points per game. So this is a team that maybe, San Antonio, you don't want to let them get going offensively. And how to do that? Well, it comes down to assists. Now, that's where the Hornets really shine. They're in the top three in the NBA in assists per game at 27.1. We all know that has a lot to do with LaMelo Ball. Well, the Spurs average about 24, good for about 16th in the league. That's going to shift to that now. LaMelo Ball, what a rookie season for him. And I think if the Spurs contain the rookie, you might have a shot at getting a W tonight, Ty.
Luckily, he's not a major scoring threat. While he's third on the team, your two big concerns, like you said, are Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward of all players. People forget this team is not a Hornets team of the past. This is a whole new Hornets team in terms of players that they have and the way that they've been playing. You got to be careful about not letting Gordon Hayward go off on scoring against you and not allowing LaMelo Ball to put you on highlight reels just because of his passing alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You look at this Hornets team, Ty, and although you made it very clear, you know, they are kind of a middle of a packish team in the NBA. But if you have to give the Spurs another key to a win, what would it be?
So the one thing I liked about this last game against the Bucks was a 1-2 punch between Lonnie Walker and DeMar DeRozan on offense. I know you get DeJounte Murray back and Patty Mills, who are both the really key scorers for this team, but I would love to see Lonnie Walker get utilized a little bit more alongside DeMar DeRozan in just a 1-2 offensive punch where DeMar is going to cook you from the mid-range, use his playmaking against you, and also just drive to the rim. Then have Patty become your three-layer scorer and also finish at the rim, which is that he's finishing at a high rate himself. And I want to say, this month, I believe he's finishing at the rim around 71%, which is one of the best in the league right now. So keep utilizing Lonnie Walker as a main option on your team. Even if DeMar DeRozan's on the floor, make Lonnie Walker your first option. Yeah. And I would love to see Lonnie Walker just cook it out there in terms of the offense.
And you mentioned, well, just to kind of add more to that, Ty, you look at the usage rate for Lonnie Walker. According to Cleaning the Glass, against the Bucks, he was at a 23.4 usage rate. And then the previous game versus the Bulls, 28.1. And the game before that against the Pistons, 20.5. So it seems the Spurs are slowly but surely using him. Now, obviously, that had a lot to do with the fact that DeMar DeRozan was out. But even when he was back, they still utilized him well. So I think that is something to key on because it seems to be, at least the numbers show, that the Spurs are trusting him on the offensive end and giving him that ball time.
And the confidence is really coming back now. And I think that's the most important thing. He has one of the best offensive skill sets of any of the young guys on this team, just in terms of everything that he can do, because he can shoot from the outside. He can hit the mid-range, as we saw against the Bucks. He can finish at the rim, either with styling layups or slams. He can do a lot offensively, and once you get his confidence up, start and utilize him properly, man, I think he's going to be a leading scorer for the Spurs team in the future, and by future, I mean most likely next season.
Yeah, we'll see, but the Spurs and Hornets will tangle tonight in San Antonio. Hopefully it'll be a W to start the 9-game homestand. Hey, Keldon Johnson said they're going for it. They're going to try to get all the games in San Antonio and then some. Hopefully Keldon's prediction will come true. All right, Ty, let's go ahead and shift gears now and talk about, well, Derek White. Now, we'll continue our chat about your San Antonio Spurs, but don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun helps. Theragun is a handheld percussive therapy device that provides you the deepest muscle tension release using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscles' tensions from working out, from an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. Try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $190. Go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon. And before we continue, Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL, they're in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head out to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and use promo code LOCKEDON. Let's just preface this. The man has been in and out of the lineup. He dealt with toe injury, not once, but twice. Had surgery. Got hit with COVID. He's been out with the rotations. But when he's been back, he hasn't been looking like the same Derek White that we've seen from seasons past. Spurs fans are kind of starting to scratch their head, wondering what is going on. It's gotten to the point where some of them are saying, what is up with this guy? You know, he's useless. I mean, it's gotten to that extreme. But we know how Spurs fans can get, Ty.
Oh, Jesus.
Nevertheless, overall, is this something that we should be concerned about? The Derek White play has been slipping of late.
Don't. No, everyone, stop overreacting. You've done this all season. You did with DeJounte early on. You did with Lonnie. Guys, please stop it. I think everyone needs to understand is that there's two, maybe three major reasons with this with Derek. One, players all have a cold streak throughout the season. Look at Kelly Oubre Jr. Man cannot hit a three to save his life at the beginning of the season, but now he's just doing fine. Players just go through cold streaks, and I guess I'm going to assume this is one. And there's a clear reason why he's on a cold streak, because he's coming off COVID, and clearly it's clearly affected him. In the first few games back, he was clearly out of breath. He was being affected physically, and he's trying to get underneath his legs underneath that. Besides the fact that this man hasn't played more than seven games, more than not even this is the most games that he's played straight in this whole season. He played one game against the Lakers, went out, was inactive for I know he can't even count, played for five games, and then was inactive against Golden State for rest or an injury, played two games, then got COVID, and now he's finally on a healthy consistent by playing seven games straight so far with his eighth coming up. So give the man a break. He has not played. This is the most amount of games that he's played straight this season. And he's doing this while coming off COVID. So stop overreacting. He's going to find his legs. There's still some games that he did really exceptionally well in the beginning of the streak. Like he went 3-for-8 against Philadelphia, even though that was a loss. He did really well there. He's had four games that have 17 points so in this stretch. So he's showed that he can score. He's just getting underneath his legs. And his defense is still looking solid overall. Mm-hmm. It's just his offensive game that's been cold.
Yeah, so what is concerning Spurs fans, well, as Ty mentioned, the offensive end. If you look at the game against the Bucks, he goes 3-for-14 and 0-for-8 from the three-point line. A previous game against the Cavs, 4-for-11 and 2-for-5 from the three-point line. And in the game versus Chicago, 4-for-14, 2-for-7. But at the same time, he did score double figures in Cleveland and in Chicago. And for those games specifically, his usage rate was high. He had a 26.3% usage rate against the Bucks in the loss. One thing we have to consider this is, too, they gave him that generous contract. You know, they extended him. He's a Spur, at least for quite some time now. I think that could be another reason why Spurs fans are seeking more out of him. Do you agree with that point or not?
I'm not going to say I agree with it, but I'm going to agree with you that people are looking at that, but I don't think it's a valid. I don't think it's a valid thing to look at, especially with how much he's missed this season and for the specific reasons why he's missed it. One, he missed the beginning part of the season due to injury. And now the second part was due to COVID. And now he's recovering off of COVID while trying to get back into the rhythm of NBA play. So while, yes, he got a nice contract extension, he just hasn't had the chance to get underneath his legs. And it takes a little bit, especially coming off COVID, where we've seen NFL players like Von Miller say that they are still feeling the effects of COVID months and months later. So for Derek White to get back to what he's doing after so short of a time since COVID, I got to commend him for that. And he's doing, again, while the offensive game isn't there, he's still doing a lot of things really well out there. And he's still showing why he's Derek White.
Absolutely. You look at just his overall line, if you will, he's only played 15 games this season, and he has a grand total of 386 minutes. That's it. That's all he has.
It's
not a lot. And even in that small sample size, he's still averaging about 25.8 points per minute. I'm sorry, excuse me, 25.8, get tongue tied there, minutes per game, excuse me. And his block percentage among guards is high. He ranks in the 96th percentile according to Clean the Glass, at a block percentage rate at 2.0. So he's getting it done defensively, despite maybe sometimes his offensive woes. The Spurs defense as a whole has been improving tremendously this season. I mean, it's one of the better ones in the league right now, at least over the last 2 weeks. You know, they held two teams to under 100 points, which is almost unheard of in today's NBA. And Derek White is a big part of that. The charges he picks up. We mentioned the block percentage he has right now. And he's also willing to play the passing lanes. I think if he was suffering on defense, I think I'd be more concerned than the offense. I think the offense will come, Ty.
Yeah. And so comparison with the minutes. Well, like you said, 392 minutes on the court. LaMarcus Aldridge has played more minutes than Derek White. And LaMarcus Aldridge has missed a significant amount of time for the Spurs team throughout the season. Devin Vassell, who's essentially on rookie minutes, has more minutes than Derek White. DeJounte Murray is leading the team in minutes, and that's at 1,190. So I just want to compare the minutes that Derek has played compared to everyone else. Not that much.
But it really isn't.
But like you said, if he was struggling on defensive end, I would be worrying. I probably would be on Twitter saying, what the hell is wrong with Derek White? Yeah. But I'm not, because he's still showing up on defensive end. Is the offensive game still trying to get into rhythm? Yes. Is it not the best right now? No. But what I do like is that he's staying aggressive still. He's still trying to make it work. And I think Derek White's one of those guys I'm willing to let him keep shooting, because we've seen that he can get hot. He's gotten hot in the past seven games at few points, and it's been really good for the Spurs team. So he's going to have cold nights. That's just a given. That's just any NBA player. And then add on all the circumstances around it. You got to be a little lenient with Derek White coming back at this moment.
Look, now the offensive numbers at this point in time are dipping. Yes, I get it. You know, he's 42.5% from the 2-point percentage area, you know, 30% from the 3-point percentage, and they have dropped. You know, last year, he was averaging 51.8% in the 2-point percentage area. But one thing that I don't think is getting magnified and given attention to, that he's doing tremendously well this year, is getting to the rim. Not necessarily him with the ball penetrating, just physically going to the rim, playing off the ball, and attacking that rim for open shots at the rim. Now, again, we're going to clean the glass here. So he's averaging a career high in, assist at the rim. So basically when he attacks the rim physically off the ball, he's going for open dunks or layups. He's at 45%. That puts him in the 81st percentile among guards, wing guys at his position. That is his all-time high. So even when the ball is not on his hand, he's still looking for a way to get to at least some scoring in that fashion. That tells me that, hey, if his shot's not falling, fine. But he's looking for other ways to get some offensive help for San Antonio time.
And he's doing a lot more off-ball too. And there's a lot more playmaking going into his game. He's a point guard after all. He does a lot more off-ball. He does So he does a lot of things that just don't show up on the box score. And even if you look at the assist numbers have been good for him so far. At least in the at least in the past seven, it's only while he's only not playing that he's not playing too much and he's not getting that many touches, he's still averaging a really good amount of assists at 3.1, which is good for the amount of touches that he's gotten. So I'm not like he had five against Chicago, six against Milwaukee. So and he while he knows that his shot's not going down, he's still moving the ball and getting it to his teammates.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. And Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship directly to you, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try BlueChew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout and just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. And we thank BlueChew for sponsoring the podcast. And we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. You know, the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Well, now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best because it's Built Bar Madness. Go to BuiltBar.com right now to see all the matchups. See if your flavor is advancing to win the title of the best tasting protein bar over at BuiltBar.com. And when you go there, remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Absolutely, yeah. So I think Spurs fans can, at least those that are on the ledge right now, can back off a bit. The offense will come. That will happen. As they say, you know, they got to just keep shooting it. And that's what he's going to have to do. That's the only way he's going to break out of it. And even when he is in a slump, he's still giving you double-figure scoring, as we saw during the road trip with 17 points in back-to-back nights. So he's finding ways to score. We mentioned the getting to the rim without the ball. That's gone up. And he's doing a lot for San Antonio. And as long as the defensive end is so high, I think Spurs fans should focus on that. Because offensively, Ty, this team has balance. Aside from White, we know Lonnie can do it. We know DeMar obviously can do it. You know, Patty Mills can still do it. DeJounte can do it. So when his offense is struggling, I think Spurs fans should be like, you know, it's okay because this team is loaded with offensive firepower, Ty.
Yeah, it's a very – there's a reason that we don't have that – have a like a dramatic leading score because the scoring on this team is so balanced out that anyone can have a hot night and anyone can have a cold night. It's not going to affect the team dramatically. Like we've seen issues, we've seen teams in the past where if someone's out on cold night, it just doesn't work for that team. With this team, while say that Derek's having a cold night, you have a guy like Lonnie Walker who can go off. Say that Lonnie Walker has a cold night the next night, DeJounte Murray goes off, or even DeMar DeRozan's not having a good night. Mm-hmm. Other people are contributing on the floor. Mm-hmm. I believe this team has had 10 or 11 different leading scorers this season in a game. That includes Drew Eubanks leading. That includes Trey Lyles, Rudy Gay. It includes all these bench guys leading in scoring because this team is so well-balanced in scoring throughout the season. It's really helpful. And yeah, while you're not going to get, you're not going to have a guy average more than this, at least this season, 20 points, more than 20 point, right. points a game, you have eight people averaging in double digits.
Awesome. Yeah. And so if White is struggling, you know, the Spurs will be all right because somebody's going to pick up the slack on the offensive end. We can't forget Keldon Johnson, too. I mean, double-double, 2020 guy recently. So he's definitely going to be okay, Spurs fans. He's just going through a little rut on the offensive end shooting side, that is. Every player goes through it, as Ty highlighted. All right, Ty, before we put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs, some quick news and notes. We got to start off with the whole LaMarcus Aldridge Spurs split. You know, I get it. You know, that's, you know, everybody's wondering what's going on with him. So a couple more recent news items popped up. One, Brian Windhorst, ESPN guy, again saying that Miami is still seems to be the leading team, but not necessarily from the Miami side. Like Miami is interested in him. It's actually LMA reportedly interested in going to Miami if there is a buyout situation. And then, I just think all signs are pointing to a buyout, Ty, at the end of the day. Unless you think the Spurs are going to be like, you know what, we'll take whatever. I mean, do you really think they'll do that? But this just reeks of buyout.
There was some other news around the league that's a lot like Kevin O'Connor just made a dump of news out there.
Yeah.
One of the things that he said that the Atlanta Hawks had offered John Collins to Minnesota for like Malik Beasley in a first rounder, and the T-Wolves declined. If a trade like that is getting declined by people, I'm pretty sure the trade for LaMarcus Aldridge is most likely doubtful to happen. Just in terms of the money, like we've said multiple hundreds of damn times, it's the money situation is very difficult to move. He's regressed tremendously. And just especially the teams that want him, which are contenders, they just don't have the cap nor the contracts to really move to get him. So I think the buyout's more likely. It's not the end of the world. People saying that, oh, you should have traded him 2 years ago. It's like, hindsight's 2020, everyone. I feel like that argument is the one that frustrates me the most, is saying, oh, we should trade him 2 years ago. No, he was still a valuable member of the team 2 years ago, and we didn't really have anyone to replace him. So it's a buyout market. Oh, well, this happens with hundreds of other teams around the league. I bet this team tried its best to move him at the least. Now, if he does get moved in a trade, pleasant surprise. I'm not expecting much out of it. So
no, yeah,
this is not going to be a game change. It was never going to be a game changer in the first place. So I'm not worried, nor was I ever going to be worried about, oh, well, you're getting nothing back from LaMarcus. That's what I was expecting. Like I said before,
yeah,
it's addition by subtraction. You open up a roster spot, you get two roster spots open in a buyout, sign someone out yourself from the buyout market, or get a G League guy. It's easy as that. Again, you're going to gain game changers in a trade, so I don't know what you're expecting.
Yeah, also via The Ringer, there is in that article you mentioned, Ty, that Aldridge could also go back to Portland for a reunion, that they're also a threat to acquire Aldridge, but doesn't say acquire in what manner, via trade or via buyout. But if he goes to Miami, I think that makes the most sense because, you know, you put him alongside with Bam, I think that'd be a great 1-2 punch for them in the middle. And then you got Jimmy Butler there. But yeah, you're right, Ty, you're not going to see contending teams throw a bunch of their core at San Antonio, because how much money has to go back to San Antonio? I think
$19 million.
I mean, that means you're going to have to gut into your core if you're a team looking to trade with San Antonio. Or you could just roll the dice and go with the buyout and just hope that that Aldridge picks you over other teams. When you look back, when all this is said and done, Ty, when this is over, how are you going to look back at the LaMarcus Aldridge era?
I'm going to like it. The man went through a lot in between he had a really good season with this Spurs team and they just got knocked out early. He went through the whole Kawhi saga. He went through a heart issue in the middle of all this where he was having a regular heartbeat, played his ass off whenever Kawhi was sitting out. And still led this Spurs team to a playoff seed. So he did his best, and then it came time to where he just regressed, wasn't a fit with the team overall, and does it sour at the end? Yeah, a little bit, but it's not bad. I thought he did some really good stuff with this team, and honestly, this team could have. A team with LaMarcus Aldridge could have been a championship contender if it wasn't for a certain number two. So despite a certain number two and Zaza Pachulia, mm-hmm. LaMarcus Aldridge I enjoyed him on this team, and I really hope that he goes somewhere that he can possibly get a championship or can just enjoy himself. So either Miami or go back to Portland. I would love to, my honest opinion, I would love to see him with a Portland reunion.
Yeah. I mean, he's been vocal about that too, even in his San Antonio days when, you know, things were fine. That he would love to end how his career with the Blazers. That is not outside the realm of possibility. I definitely can see that. But again, you know, Miami, just if I'm him, I'm looking at Miami as the legit spot simply because it's in the Eastern Conference, which is not as packed as the West. Miami is a good team. I think he will bolster that team and maybe push them up there with your Philadelphia's. Who else is a good team on the East? I guess the Nets, I guess. So they'll become a threat with Aldridge. But the thing is that I think Spurs fans just want to see something in return. At the end of the day, Ty, you made it very clear that even if it's a buyout, they'll be fine. Right, Ty?
Yeah. Overall, the Spurs, whenever it comes to a buyout, Spurs are going to be fine. You've already been playing well without him. And the biggest thing I noticed, and I noticed this myself, my own thinking, is you say that you want all these guys, yet you want your young guys to get play. You want guys like Luka to get minutes, but you keep wanting guys to fill that position. And I've caught myself thinking about this too. It's like, oh, I want this guy. I want like it's a bonus or this kind of guy. But then I realize, wait, that would just take minutes away from Luka coming out. It would take minutes away from someone else. Like that, it's not logical, especially if you're a guy that's really hounding for these young guys to get minutes. So it's again, it's addition by subtraction by releasing him. You don't get hit money. You don't get hit long term money wise, and you free up a roster spot to get someone else young that you can bring onto the roster and have rights to when it comes to restricted free agency. So say that you do have a young guy that you really like and he really works well with you in terms of what you do for the rest of the season and practice or anything like that, resign him in restricted free agency to boost your depth. That's probably the best case scenario, and it's not that bad. If you really want to sign someone, you have the buyout market, you have the G League, you have all the G League stuff, players around. So honestly, right now the Spurs are probably the best that they can get in terms of players available in buyout market and stuff like that. Maybe you trade a guy like Rudy Gay at the deadline. There's still, also everyone, calm down. If a trade hasn't happened, there are still 4 days left. Calm down. You guys were freaking out 2 weeks ago when a trade didn't happen. And I'm here like, there are 2 weeks left. So everyone, if you don't see a trade happening at the end of today on Monday, calm down. There's still 3 days after this. Calm down. Exactly.
There's still time on there. And also, just a quick update regarding tonight's game. Per the Hornets, Terry Rozier is probable. LaMelo Ball is probable. And Cody Zeller is out. So there's a chance that maybe two of their top heavy guys are not going to play, but I highly doubt that. So there is the latest and greatest from the Hornets. All right, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about, we'll start off with Derek White. Are you worried about his play? You think there's something bigger? Or are you like myself and Ty, like everybody just calm down, he'll be fine. Also, what about tonight's Hornets game? Do you see the Spurs getting that W? And what are your thoughts on LaMarcus Aldridge right now? You know, he's still technically a Spur, so, you know.
Here's the key word for everyone. Here's the key word. Calm down. That's the key word. That's the key word of today and of this week. Just calm down.
Yeah. Well, you know, starting today, it's going to be crazy because Spurs fans are going to be glued to social media and, you know, like, look, the such and such team traded for such and such player. And Spurs, you couldn't do that. You're going to hear a lot of that. You're also going to hear a lot of those gifs of the just people running, getting anxious and like, hurry up, do something, Spurs.
Do something. Poke him with a stick. It's like, I've explained all the reasons on countless times of why it's so difficult to trade LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm sorry to not wrap this up, but some people was talking about the Spurs being stingy with Rudy Gay and what they were being offered from the Heat, because there was that report out and people saying, you should just trade Rudy Gay. It's like, no, I would want more than a 2027 second round pick for Rudy Gay. Because Rudy Gay is still an impactful player, and I'm saying this as if this was the only second round pick they had available, and it looks like they weren't going to give up much. But I would want more than just a second round pick 6 years in the future now for Rudy Gay, who's actually been pretty impactful for your team, like it or not.
Yeah, and just brace yourself, Ty, because you know it's going to get very. Oh, I know for you, because you sometimes run out of patience real fast with Spurs fans, so. Just take a deep breath.
I try to have patience. I try to have patience, but you guys push it. I love all y'all, but y'all push it. I am like a mom over here. You guys are the kids. I love y'all. You guys are the best thing in the world, but damn, you guys are annoying at times.
Well, Ty, here, just keep this in mind. Remember, they're just clicking on a keyboard. There's nothing that you can do nor they can do to you on the other end. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, if you definitely want to go at Ty, make sure to follow him at Ty. Tell us how they can chat with you. And of course, at the line.
Follow me at the Ty Jaeger. It's the Ty Jaeger. Make sure to check out at the line pod on Twitter. I'm just going to say, we're recording this on a separate, so I don't know some of the scores going into Monday for March Madness, but I'm feeling good about my bracket. Even though it's a complete joke bracket, I'm feeling good about it. So I'm gonna take away from the stress and keep watching March Madness.
Yeah, you're gloating about it on social media. I saw you're doing it.
Oh, I'm loving it. It's Hey, it's a joke bracket, but it's doing so well.
All right. Well, on that note, for Ty Jaeger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're gonna put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.